Advisor program. And she's also there giving a presentation on that. So I wanted to everybody and everyone to know that. She's getting some national recognition for her work in Plant Health Advisor. So it's a great program. And we truly value the work the volunteers do. So if you have questions for tonight, our program updates are from John DeMont Mullen, Bethany Titro, and Rose DeMora.
Good. Rose, you want to go first?
Sure.
Great.
Because John doesn't talk very long at all.
No.
I'll watch the clock.
And he knows I can, so.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I just wanted to introduce you briefly to the Farm Fresh Atlas. I know some of you are already familiar with it. We are in, I believe, our sixth year. We started it in 2005. We actually started this. It's a listing of farmers markets, and food-related businesses in southeast Wisconsin. We include 10 counties on the map. And it actually started when we copied what Dane County was doing. But what we realized is that we were doing an awful lot of education aimed at farmers. But if we didn't educate consumers about farmers who have products to sell, then we weren't meeting the needs of the farmers anyway, because they'd have all these products and no consumers to purchase them. So that's why we started it. It's been a great partnership. UW Extension has played a pretty significant role in putting that out, as well as we partner with Town and Country, RC&D. We have partnered in the past with Michael Fields, which is a sustainable agriculture institute in East Troy. We do also have Slow Food as part of the committee, and then we have a couple farmers who are listed in the Atlas that are also on the committee. It's a pretty time-intensive project, but the great thing is that for the most part, it is economically sustainable. Anybody who's listed in that, with the exception of the farmers markets, pay to be in there, so we're able to cover all the printing costs. Our website costs, the only thing that we are not able to cover in our budget is staff time. So staff time that's put into it is not part of our budget. But we've found every year we survey the farmers and the businesses that are listed, and consistently between 65% and 70% say that they either get sales or contacts by being listed. So we really feel like, as a resource, it's doing what our intention was, which is to connect farmers and consumers in southeast Wisconsin. So I know we bring it out to you annually when it gets published, so I just wanted to sort of let you know more about it, what we're doing and why we're doing it. So it's something that we're real proud of and also real thrilled with the partnerships that we have. So if you don't have any questions, so.
Don't be so certain.
Okay.
Do you have any questions?
Oh, and I forgot, there's a very, very important partnership I forgot to mention. UW Parkside, their graphic design department, has, every year we get a student intern to do all of the graphic design for the Atlas, which is phenomenal. We couldn't pay for the graphic design work that they do, and so I don't know if anyone knows Alan Goldsmith, but he's overseen the students who do the work since we started, and it's just a phenomenal, phenomenal partnership. We wouldn't be where we were without that partnership. So that's really been a key part of the work.
Where's
so.
The dinner?
Oh, sure. last year, one of our committee members had an idea of how to continue funding it. We were struggling with finding really big sponsors. When it first started, we were able to find people that were willing to give us $4,000 or $5,000 at a crack. That sort of went away. And so we were trying to figure out how could we keep our prices the way we were. We didn't want to up the prices for the farmers or the businesses that are listed. And so the decision was made to do a fundraising dinner using local food. And so we did that last year, and we were successful in raising about $6,000 or $7,000, which gets us what we need plus a little cushion, which is great. So this year we're going to repeat that fundraising dinner. It's at the Oconomowoc Lake Club. And we do it there because the chef there just has such a strong commitment to local food. And so that'll happen on October 22nd. And I'll make sure you all get information on how to attend when it gets a little closer. So, any questions?
Actually, I do have a question. Okay. You know, we always have the farmer's market downtown. It's every other Saturday.
Yes.
Down by the lakefront. Have you ever thought about having one out here in the parking lot on a Saturday?
Yes. The Bristol Farmer's Market that runs on Wednesdays, I've tried to suggest to her that she consider moving it exactly where you're suggesting. Mm-hmm. And at this point, I believe it's political, but I can't say that for sure. They've chosen to stay where they are.
I don't like their hours. That's my problem. Yeah. Because it's on Wednesday afternoon from what, like 2 to 6?
2 to 6.
And that's very difficult for a lot of people to mm-hmm. get there.
Yeah, I think the challenge with another Saturday market, to be perfectly frank, is finding enough farmers. I know I talked to the gentleman in the Parks Department, John Rudy. Mm-hmm. He was discussing starting a farmer's market, and I think he still is considering it, and he was talking about doing it on Saturdays at the Paddock Lake, the park in Paddock Lake. Mm-hmm. And I suggested to him that he really do some research and talk to some local farmers and really evaluate whether or not there is enough farmer base. To be honest, at this point, that's where the struggle is finding enough farmers to go to these farmers markets. And I hate to start a new one and have it flounder, which is, we've seen that happen. There's been several new farmers markets that start, and the folks that started, they're well-meaning, mm-hmm. but they don't realize the challenge that we have in finding enough farmers to make the market really vibrant. And, you know, because if you don't have enough farmers, consumers aren't going to come back. So, you know, you get into this dilemma of, so I think that the location is phenomenal. Struggle with whether or not you could get enough farmers there on a Saturday, which is why I was hoping that Lisa would consider moving the Bristol market to that corner just because of the amount of traffic.
Right.
But it's not a bad idea. It's just, can we get the farmer base to commit? And a lot, and many farmers that are full-time farmers doing it for a living have an existing Saturday market, and so it's, do they have the staff to send somebody? So it is a dilemma. It's an interesting challenge as we've seen so many new farm markets start up. But it's the location. You can't be at that location.
It's downtown?
No, at the corner there.
Oh, yeah.
I'd love to see this.
Yeah, I would too. I just can't get downtown all the time. Any questions?
I have one question about you said the event was in Oconomowoc for the fundraiser?
Yes.
Are there any outlets in Kenosha that if a local restaurant was going to use local foods to advertise? Or I don't even know. I'm just kind of more curious. Is there any restaurants that really specialize in that?
There are a couple that buy locally, although I haven't seen a lot that really push that as far as putting it on their menus, which is, I think, is doing a disservice to them and to the farmers because they're not pushing it. But I do know that there are some local restaurants that are choosing to buy local, but whether or not they're able to do it to the extent,
okay,
but it'd be something that I'd like to see happen more. I think the other challenge too is that a lot of farmers, the thing I'm hearing is people want to kind of group, you know, get all the products together and then bring it to the restaurants, and the restaurants seem to be saying the same thing. They don't want to have to deal with 12 different farmers when they can. So it's happening in Kenosha, but maybe not to the extent that I would like to see it happen. And it's just really not being promoted the way it should. I know Monge's is one, though, that does buy locally. There are others as well. And some of the local grocery stores do as well. I believe Super Value used to carry local lamb. I don't know if they still do. So there is at least an effort being made to make those purchases.
Good. Anyone else?
I do.
Supervisor Holman, any questions?
Okay.
Welcome.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Hi, John.
Next month, the youth programs gets an opportunity to update you on what I'd call our core programs, including the Kenosha County 4-H program, the Kenosha County Youth in Governance program, which you all are aware of, and of course, Kenosha County Youth as Resources program, which actually meets downtown. So I won't spend a lot of time today talking about those programs. What I thought I'd spend a little bit of time on is updating the committee on some of our summer efforts that we have been able to leverage both public and private dollars to help with our programming efforts. So we're going to highlight three, and the first thing I'd like to show you is a video that was created a few years back, and I have to apologize. 6 different laptops, 2 different sets of speakers to actually get the volume so you could hear this, and of course, none of it worked. So we'll be working on that issue over the next month. But if everybody is a little quiet, hopefully you'll be able to hear this. And Beth is going to hold it up so that little speaker on the bottom of the laptop. Apologize for the sound part, but basically what it is, we were able to leverage back in 2009, $6,000 to start this Gateway Academy. Now, the $6,000 came from the Kern Family Foundation, and what they were really interested in is getting more kids involved in engineering, okay, science and technology. And so when I heard about the grant, at first I'm like, okay, well, I've seen a lot of these camps where you do the camp for a couple days and the kids go home and that was the end of it. I wasn't really interested in that. What I was interested in is the pipeline. How do you get a kid hooked? Get them into the pipeline so they can go through high school and then go on to college and they can go back and say, my start got it, we got started at this camp. So I looked around Kenosha, and there's a charter school in Kenosha Unified School District called K-Tech, and they specialize in technology education. They start kindergarten and go through eighth grade. After eighth grade, a lot of those students then go to Lakeview Technical Academy. The question that the principal at K-Tech had is there a way to get kids caught up who miss K-Tech because there's just not enough spots for all the kids that want to go there to go there? Can we provide a camp for those kids who are on the waiting list for K-Tech to get them caught up before they go to Lakeview? And that's the target audience for this camp. So we were really specific on who we were going to target and how that was going to work. So first year, we were able to leverage $6,000. The next year, we were able to leverage $4,000. In this past year, $1,500. And that was all by design. The program is designed to put a lot of money in the front of the program and then eventually get to a point of sustainability. The reputation is now such that they think that they're going to be able to charge enough tuition and fees to cover the cost because the reputation of the program is so strong. So that is the 4-H Gateway Academy program offered through K-Tech in partnership with KUSD. Questions on that one?
Yeah. How many kids in it?
Great question. First year, they had enough to do two camps. So they did 40. They had 40-plus kids enrolled. The next 2 years, it was in the 20 range. And some kids start, I'll be honest, some kids start, you know, they go to the first day or two, and they're like, you know, not for me. Because it's actually learning from, you know, 9 in the morning till 5 at night for an entire week. It's not like a camp where they're swimming and all that. They're actually in science programming the whole time. So, but yeah, it's a really exciting program for us. Yeah?
What is your registration and tuition?
I think this past year it was $40. Yeah, it's designed to be a non-profit generating program. So really, the tuition costs are really just covering the cost of the teachers who work the program over the summer. Yeah. Second program. Real quick. This program is a federal program that Wisconsin 4-H Youth Development actually got a grant on. And they were looking for counties to actually participate. And of course, when somebody says, I've got some grant dollars for a program, especially in technology, I'm like, hey, let me learn more about that. So I partnered with my colleague in Racine, Tracy Stroller, and we were able to convince the 4-H Youth Development Program in Madison that Racine and Kenosha would be a great place to invest a staff person to help us launch this program. This is called the Tech Wizards Venturing Program. The idea or the concept is we're going to take mentors who have a background in technology, and we're going to pair them with youth to do robotics. So you have the adult coaching a robotics team, and then this robotics team would go for competitions. And we would help them as a team develop those skills, and then once again, try and get them into this pipeline. Try and get them into K-Tech or Lakeview so that they can go on with their education. The cool thing about this program is we have a staff person dedicated, and you'll see her contact information. Her name's Pam Kelly. We have her through December for 10 hours a week here in Kenosha. And so we're focusing on two places right now, actually three places. Two schools, Jefferson Elementary School, Lincoln Middle School, and these are both in KUSD and the Boys and Girls Club. Because of the restrictions on the grant, our target audience is very focused, so that's where this grant is going. So Pam has been working with both Tracy and I to get hooked up. In fact, she has a meeting next week with Boys and Girls Club to secure space and robots to actually get these teams going. And we have a pilot group already going at Jefferson Elementary. So if you know of anyone who has some technology skills or not, because we can train people, and they'd like to mentor, this is kind of a new twist in mentoring. It's specific to technology. Questions on this program?
No?
Okay. All right. One last one. You may have seen this in the Kenosha News. I'll pass this one. We were able to secure for this summer four AmeriCorps VISTA members, and you may have heard this term AmeriCorps VISTA before. Basically, I like to describe it as the domestic Peace Corps. College students or other adults want to volunteer some service. The government gives them a living stipend. I believe it's $890 a month to work 40 hours a week in a specific program. And so we were able to secure four AmeriCorps VISTA members this summer to run a summer program at the Urban Outreach Center. And so you see in the article here, that's Chip. He's our science guy. So he teaches science twice a week, but we had three other VISTAs as well teaching nutrition, recreation. They also did some work in self-esteem building and leadership skills, and all this is journaled. So my hope is, as they worked with about 45 inner-city youth, my hope is to have the data collected from their journals. All the kids wrote journals, and so I'll be able to share that with the committee at a later time about the impact of that particular program. Questions on that one? Okay, I got one more.
I just need to comment that with oversight on this, you could have read that in the newspaper and had no idea that was a Kenosha County UW extension.
No.
We got no ink out of that at all.
I will tell you, I read it and I'm like, oh no. Because, you know, that's part of our thing. We've got to let people know this is a county program. And once again, we made the point, but if it gets in the paper, it gets in the paper. If it doesn't, it doesn't. You might have heard, not this week, next week, Kenosha County Fair. A lot of times people associate 4-H with the fair. A few years ago, we had county board supervisors ask what our role was with the fair. So got together with Teddy, and we created a chart. Because, of course, in extension, we need to have charts and paper for you. So I sat down with Teddy. We created this to hopefully clarify our role with the Kenosha County Fair. So real quick.
Quick call, 2 minutes.
Thank you. 4-H deals with education. So we start our year in October, and we get kids together, and we teach them things on, like, horses and dogs and woodworking and those types of things. They work the whole year. At the end of the 4-H year, they have an opportunity to display their work at the Kenosha County Fair. So they transfer from us over to the great people over at the fair. And that's a bunch of volunteers out there who put together this opportunity for our kids, along with other kids, Girl Scouts, Boy Scouts, whoever wants to show off their work at the fair. Just so happens that 4-H dominates the fair. Lots of kids get involved. So a lot of kids bring their animals or their exhibits to the fair. They get judged. They do receive a premium for that. And then from that, especially if they're in large animals, that's when they can qualify for the livestock sales team. They could sell their animal. And once again, that's another group of volunteers out there who run this sale. And then the kids usually sell their animals for at least double the market. And then they take those savings, and usually most kids put it towards a college savings account. So I just want to give you a quick background in case you get any questions about, you know, 4-H and our role. We really deal on the education side, getting kids ready to go and participate in the fair. Once it gets to the fair, we kind of pass the baton to those folks. Once they get their ribbons, they pass the baton to the people that actually run the sale. And then we all celebrate in September, and that's life. And under 2 minutes.
That was impressive, Jeff.
For me.
Hey, Teddy, you're up.
The 133 contract, that is probably a foreign term to many of you. I think Chairman Bruning and Supervisor Hallman are the two who will have a little familiarity with it. That is the contract with the Board of Regents that paid for the salaries of our educators. And so that is a 60-40 arrangement. The state pays 60%, or UW system, 60%, and the county 40%. Every year, the contract comes before this committee for reapproval, and tonight's the night. So I only have four copies of the contract because that's all I'm required to have. So I'm going to ask you to share and take a peek at it as I review it real quickly. And then it does require a motion for you to approve. There's only signature lines for five of you because in a typical committee, that was only had five. So Chairman Bruning, I don't know how you want to handle that, but the same people need to sign the five documents, the four documents.
I can't share.
Yeah, you can't share. Some of you sign, some others. So in essence, it is an outline of the positions that we fund at our educator level, as well as a line item for our students or LTEs. If we don't use a student or an LTE, then we won't be charged for it. I put it in the contract because then if we get a grant, for example, John's describing some of the projects, and we get grant money to pay for that, that's how we'll pay for students or LTEs. Otherwise, there's no county levy in any of the LTE or student positions. It's only in the educator position. So that's the outline of the contract. The only changes that the budget office gives me is the updated numbers. Those are the numbers I turn around and put into our county budget. And that's the simplicity. This pays for salaries and benefits.
Any questions from the committee?
For next year, could we get this in our packets? So we can have time to look at this one longer.
In your packets, when you're saying in your packets.
Because agendas for the meetings.
With the agenda.
Oh, I'm sorry.
They wanted it.
Yes, I should have thought of that. Yes.
I mean, it's kind
yes,
of
I
like,
see what you're saying.
Mike
could have, or could April have put it in all your packets so that each of you. Yes. I'm sorry about that. I didn't think about that. And I didn't get it until late, and you'll see it was an item that got added late because it came in. And I thought, well, it's here. I want to be able to give it to you.
Any questions?
I have it as a position, and I'm going to talk about that in my director's report because we're going to refill it as an interim.
That was her word.
Her name is listed there, but it'll be vice. It'll be a CRD educator position.
What is the percentage difference from the last,
I don't know that answer. I didn't hear your percentage. I can tell you that fringe benefits increased simply because of health insurance. So you would expect them to go down because the state employees are going to be paying more towards health insurance and our retirement. But indeed, they went up. The explanation for that is that that's figured on a three-year rolling. And so it's 3 years ago that the real costs are what's calculated in our fringe benefit rate today. So they're lower. We're going to be paying more in 2011-12. That'll be reflected 3 years from now in the fringe benefit rate. It's just an interesting way they calculate it.
Is there a time frame on this? Do you have to do this tonight?
Yes.
And why is that?
Well, we could put it off until next month, but the contract went into effect July 1. I just got it.
Well, I understand it. I would appreciate it looking at it a little bit more before.
And I do apologize for that.
We got all about 6 minutes.
It did come late. And it's an annual document that you get, or that comes before this committee every year for review for the positions.
Any other questions?
The reconciliation is just the amount from the last contract that was off, basically?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. And much of that was due to LTEs expending and students that we would pay for out of our grant funds.
Okay, I see.
Yeah.
So the grant money isn't in here to offset to show.
That's right. Because they don't know.
This is a new document.
No, good question. They don't know where I'm bringing the money from, whether I'm bringing it out of my county budget or the grant funds. So when we pay our bill, we pay the portion of the students and the LTEs out of our grant account. The salaries for the educators come out of the county account.
Okay.
Any other questions?
Recommendation?
Yep. Are you making one?
Yeah.
Okay, I have a recommendation from Supervisor Underhill.
Second.
I guess, Madam Chair, my question, how many members do feel that they can go over to IT? I don't know. It's review for a few of us, but maybe too many of us.
I guess the question is, are there five of us that feel comfortable enough signing this?
Yes.
You and I do. Are there three others that feel comfortable enough signing this tonight?
I'm sorry.
I have two.
Yeah.
I have three over on this side.
Yeah,
sorry. Okay, the whole committee feels comfortable. Okay. So I have a first by Supervisor Underhill, and who seconded that?
Second.
Oh, you were a little late. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Anything government? Chair votes all. Okay. I'll go ahead and sign. Supervisor Holman, if you would like to sign this with me, and then...
Do you want us to send them all your way, and then we come back or something?
Sure. If you want to start on the second line, or is it the first line that I get?
Real quickly, as you're signing, the other piece that I was just going to mention, as you ask about the Ann Jones or the community development position, that is one of the positions we have open. It's now posted as an interim. The other position we have posted is our bilingual nutrition educator. We had an individual hired, and 2 days before he was to begin his position, he emailed to tell me he couldn't accept the position. Devastating. So we are now posting that. So those are the two open positions that we have right now. And lastly, the other thing I would just mention is I put on your tables tonight in front of you the proposals for Leadership Kenosha. That is a team project proposal that we ask all of our Leadership Kenosha participants to partake in. I wanted you to be aware that if you have an organization that you associate with or any groups that you think might benefit from a Leadership Kenosha proposal, I definitely encourage you to submit a proposal to have a Leadership Kenosha project work with some of the organizations. We would welcome that. That would just be really wonderful. Great opportunities for the Leadership Kenosha.
It's an organization that needs some desperate yard work done. Mine.
It's a plea for yard work. Yeah, well, I will tell you this, that all the proposals are put before the participants and they decide which ones they're going to work on. So you have to make a really good pitch to have them select.
I think I can do that.
That's all I have.
My apologies, Madam Chair. I just want to remind members when you sign, don't forget to date it as well.
Thank you. That did happen last year.
And that was for my benefit because I just signed two of them.
And it happened last year. I think we ended up routing them back around to look at it.
Table item, you mean? He brought in real later. Yeah. I know. Well, that's his own fault.
So if you guys need to say anything, we'd appreciate if you guys can kind of, you'll have to just bring the mic closer to you so it picks up.
Oh, yeah.
Otherwise it doesn't get as well on the mics here.
Well, if we keep adding, and that's going to be his downfall.
Thank you.
Yes.
Four.
Are both of these in attendance tonight to take questions?
No. Bowing out.
Thank you, everyone. Have a good night. Thank you, Teddy. Well, because it's totally the late publishers again.
Good evening. I'm going to call this Planning and Zoning, Planning, Development, Extension Education Committee meeting to order. It is 7:10. Thank you all for joining us tonight. I know that you've had to sit through another committee meeting, but we have combined our committees, and this is what we get now. So all of our supervisors are present. We have our youth and veterans trainer is here tonight. I guess we will go ahead and get started.
Okay. Item number four, our agenda was published in the Kenosha News on the, June 8th, July 30th, and August 5th to fulfill with the state statutes on publication for a comprehensive plan amendment. Item number four is a public hearing on the proposed comprehensive plan amendment requesting approval of the draft annual report that was submitted to the multi-jurisdictional comprehensive plan for Kenosha County year 2035, the 2010-2011 annual report, and text amendment to part two of chapter 15, which would be the implementation element of the comp plan, as well as to add exceptions to amendments to the plan for minor lot line adjustments, which are resulting from changes in wetlands, surface water, environmental corridor boundaries, and the addition and or subtraction of roads. This item is an annual report that is submitted to the MJAC, or Multi-Jurisdictional Comprehensive Plan Committee. This was done on the end of June, and as indicated in the reference here, it basically was a summary of all the comprehensive plan changes that were done for the various jurisdictions throughout Kenosha County, as well as language to change some amendments to minor lot line adjustments in wetlands, surface water, environmental corridor boundaries, and the addition or subtraction of roads, which would mean if we had a field staked wetland or a change in environmental corridor, that itself would not trigger a comp plan. We would handle that strictly through a rezoning process and not through a comp plan, and that was approved unanimously by the MJAC committee, and it comes to the Land Use Committee, which would then, I would hope, forward to the county board. So I would take questions on that since I would be the staff person.
Any questions from the committee?
If we would be considering a motion, we would need a roll call vote pursuant to the state statutes.
Pleasure of the committee. Motion.
Make a motion to approve the proposed comprehensive plan amendment.
A second.
I have a first by Supervisor Decker and a second by Supervisor Underhill. I'm sorry, Supervisor Kohlmeyer. Are there any other questions on this? You think evidence? How do you vote? Everybody? Supervisor Holman?
Aye.
Supervisor Beadle?
Aye.
Supervisor Esposito?
Aye.
Supervisor Kohlmeyer?
Aye.
Supervisor Underhill?
Aye.
Supervisor Decker?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Motion passes.
Thank you. That will go in the form of a resolution and, I believe, an ordinance to the county board at their next meeting. Item number five is also a comprehensive plan amendment. It was submitted by the Town of Paris. They request amendments to the adopted land use plan for Kenosha County 2035, specifically map 65, the comprehensive plan in the Town of Paris, resulting from changing suburban density residential to business industrial park on the following parcels, tax parcels: 45-4-221-131-0115, 45-4-121-131-0120, 45-4-221-131-0125, 45-4-121-131-0105, and 45-4-121-131-0100. These are located in the northeast quarter of Section 13, which is Conchunk Highway E and 120th Avenue. All these parcels I'm mentioning will generally be referencing either adjacent to or on 120th Avenue, the frontage road of 94. Next item down, 45-4-121-134-0400, 44-221-134-0430, 45-4-221-134-0420, 45-4-221-134-0410, and 45-4-221-134-0405. This is 120th Avenue and north of State Trunk Highway 142. Next grouping, 45-4-221-251-0105, 45-4-221-244-0455, 45-4-221-244-0450, 45-4-221-244-0445, 45-4-221-244-0440, and 45-4-221-244-0430. These are 120th Avenue south of State Trunk Highway 142. And the last grouping, 45-4-221-254-0135 and 45-4-221-254-0140, which is located at Conchunk Highway N, west of 120th Avenue. The Regional Planning Commission assisted Kenosha County in drafting the comprehensive plan, which we adopted a year ago. These parcels were not included in what I think Paris was intending to be a business industrial area along I-94, and they wish to correct that oversight, and that's why they have submitted that to us. We do have representatives from the Town of Paris present if you have any questions.
Are there any questions from the committee?
I make a motion to approve the proposed comprehensive plan amendments.
Second.
I have a first by Supervisor Decker and a second by Supervisor Underhill. This is a roll call also.
Again, a roll call vote.
Supervisor Coleman?
Aye.
Supervisor Beeple?
Aye.
Supervisor Esposito?
Aye.
Supervisor Kohlmeyer?
Aye.
Supervisor Underhill?
Aye.
Supervisor Decker?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Motion passes.
Thank you. Again, that will be presented to the County Board at the next meeting. Item number six would be Payne & Dolan, Inc., Post Office Box 781, North 3 West 23650, Bettinger Road, Waukesha, Wisconsin, 53187. Owner, any representative can step forward to one of the microphones. Requesting a rezoning from M2 Heavy Manufacturing District, B3 Highway Business District, R2 Suburban Single Family Residential District, and C1 Lowland Resource Conservancy District, to M2 Heavy Manufacturing District, B3 Highway Business District, C1 Lowland Resource Conservancy District, on tax parcel 45-4-221-134-0400, located in the Town of Paris. Mr. Buehler, you want to give him the...
The area to be zoned is the west side of 120th Avenue, approximately 0.7 miles north of State Trunk Highway 142. You can see the area outlined purple as the property, although the area shaded in complete purple is the area to be rezoned, as well as the yellow areas for wetland and the green area for commercial.
yes, the Department of Natural Resources has indicated that that larger pond area is not considered a wetland, and so we would be rezoning it, recommending rezoning out of C1 to B3. And there are two small pockets, one at the very top north property line, and one just next to the purple, that are documented wetlands that we would request be placed into the conservancy. The other general is that indicated that the purple would be rezoning from residential to B3 on the property. You can add anything if you like.
Nope, you've done a great job.
Do I have any questions from the committee?
You should indicate just his name for the record.
My name is Bill Euless. I'm employed by Newell, and my office is the same as
this one from the town, right?
Yes, the town of Paris recommended approval at their town board meeting of July 26, 2011. Motion carried unanimously.
Is there anyone to speak in favor of this petition? Anyone in favor? Is there anyone against this petition? Anyone against? Committee?
I make a motion to approve the rezoning for... Do I have to read the entire thing? Okay, yes. Just that. For painting the land.
Second.
I have a first by Supervisor Decker and a second by Supervisor Kohlmeyer. Is the government? Yes. Committee, how do you vote?
Aye.
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 Chair votes aye. Motion passes. Thank you.
Thank you. Item number 7, Northern Pine Group, LLC. We have a representation. Step to the microphone. 31401 60th Street, Salem, Wisconsin. Owner requesting rezoning from A2 General Agricultural District to R2 Suburban Single Family Residential District, A2 General Agricultural District, C1 Lowland Resource Conservancy District, and C2 Upland Resource Conservancy District. So we're going from A2 to R2, A2, C1, and C2. On tax parcel 95-4-119-011-0100 in the town of Wheatland, and Mr. Buell will give you the exact location.
And this property is located on the south side of 60th Street at the intersection of Pine Trunk Highway and N. And the property you can see in the map is in purple. The shaded purple area is from A2 to R2. The green area is from A2 to C2, and the yellowish area is from A2 to C1.
It's rather complex rezone.
Could you state your name and address for the record, please?
It's Mary Peterson, 31401 60th Street, San Francisco.
Mary, do you have anything else to add to what is our consent?
You might want to state the purpose of the rezone.
To sell the upfront lots along Highway K. Single family residents across the street. They're similar heritage, somewhat upscale homes.
Okay. So the purple area is proposed for 3 single-family lots.
Correct.
Questions from the committee?
Are there any ones anywhere else? Is there any?
I own the adjacent parcel. I have a single-family on the 16 acres, and I also
yes, in a letter dated August 9th, the clerk indicated a meeting on August 8th. Wheatland Town Board approved a favorable recommendation to the Land Use Committee for the rezoning from A2 to R2 for 3 single-family lots per the application submitted. The existing C1 and C2 districts remain the same, and they also recommend approval of the certified survey, which will be presented later in the evening.
Is there anyone to speak in favor of this petition? Anyone to speak in favor? Anyone against this petition? Anyone against? Committee?
I make a motion to approve the rezoning for Northern Alpine Group, LLC.
Second.
I have a first by Supervisor Decker and a second by Supervisor Underhill.
Aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Your vote.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Can I, just one question. Parcel numbers, when do I, are those assigned now or?
I believe that would be after the CSM is recorded.
Right, once the certified number is recorded, you'll go to the Land Information Office and they will assign you a parcel number.
So I can record the CSM now that I have. I know there was like one per test.
Well, there are some conditions that are coming up, and you'll need to complete all those before the chairman can sign this and I'll be signing. Once that's completed, then it can be recorded.
Would I have to come back for another meeting or just get this done?
Work with a staff member that you're working with at the Planning Development Office.
Sure.
And the rezoning is going to the county board meeting next on the
23rd.
And after that is, if it's approved by the board and signed by the county executive, then that would be completed. And then you just need to, in that time, work on the conditions of the certified survey map. And upon those being completed, you could then record the CSM, and then you would get parcel numbers, and you could close on the lots. You don't need to attend. No, it's not necessary to attend. They generally go with the recommendation of the committee, and they don't take really public comment. So you don't need to worry about that. You just need to be working on the conditions of the CSM.
That makes sense.
Correct.
Is there any motion?
Okay. Thank you.
Well, item number 8, Roger W. and Ethel Sino, 39509 60th Street, Burlington, Wisconsin. 53105 owner. This is sponsored by the Land Use Committee. Request a rezoning from R7 suburban single, suburban two family and three family residential district to R3 urban single family residential district on tax parcel 95-4-119-061-0140 in the town of Wheatland. And Mr. Bealey will give you the location.
This property is located in the southeast corner of 396th Avenue and 60th Street. And on that, you can see it shown in purple from R7 to R3.
We do this at no charge to the petitioner, in that it's been pointed out that it was a mapping error from the original inventory of our zoning. Just that's for the record.
My name is Wayne H. Cuttis for number 9. These two are interrelated. Andy asked me to sit up here in case you had any questions. And just what was succinctly stated by John Roth, if you go to your map, simply stated, the R7 zoning got here over the wrong property.
Mr. Cuttis's item is the next item, which is adjacent to this parcel. So one was going into single family and one is going into multifamily as a result of mapping errors, and they happen to be adjacent to each other. So just that's, but we'll vote on them separately.
The multifamily, that's a single family. The single family, that's a
right. And the town of Wheatland recommended approval of both.
It happens.
Any questions?
Recommend reapprove this. Make a motion.
Second.
Is there any, hold on. No. Anyone to speak in favor of this petition? Anyone in favor? Is there anyone against this petition? Anyone against? No.
Make a motion. We approve this.
Second.
I have a first by Supervisor Underhill and a second by Supervisor Kohlmeyer.
And just the date of the town of Wheatland was August 8th. The record.
Anything governance? Committee?
Aye.
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 Aye. Chair votes aye. Motion passes.
Okay, stated in item number 9 is Wayne H. Cuttis, 39405 60th Street, Burlington, Wisconsin, 53105. Owner, again, sponsored by the Land Use Committee. requesting rezoning from R3 Urban Single Family Residential District to R7 Suburban Two Family and Three Family Residential District on tax parcel 95-4-119-061-0130. And as you can see, that's directly adjacent to the parcel we just voted on.
Any questions from the committee? Anyone to speak in favor of this petition? Anyone in favor? Anyone against this petition? Anyone against?
In town, again, recommend approval at their August 8th meeting.
I make a motion to approve the rezoning for Mr. Kaditz.
I have a first by Supervisor Decker and a second by Supervisor Esposito. Youth and Governance. Committee?
Aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye. To approve.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good luck.
They'll go to the next county board meeting.
Yeah, don't go.
Okay, item number 10, Full Gospel First Church. 12210 Antioch Road, Trevor, Wisconsin, 53179, owner, requesting a rezoning from I-1 Institutional District, A-2 General Agricultural District, and C-1 Lowland Resource Conservancy District to I-1 Institutional, R-3 Urban Single Family Residential District, A-2 General Agricultural District, C-1 Lowland Resource Conservancy, and C-2 Upland Resource Conservancy, on tax parcel 67-4-120-353-0301, located in the town of Salem. Mr. Buehler will give you the exact location.
This property is located on the west side of 240th Avenue, the intersection of 125th Street, the area. The property is out in the purple area, and purple is going from I-1 to I-3, the area of the area green, going from I-1 to C-2.
I'm
Joseph Chang, 12210 Antioch Road, Trevor, Wisconsin, 53179.
And Joseph, can you give us a little bit of information of what you're looking for?
The church wants to rezone to build a home there. I guess during under the current zoning, they can't build a home.
Okay. Any questions from the committee?
Is this home for a church-related individual? Or?
Yeah. That take care of the land there right now. There's basically the truth center there. That's what they have to use for.
And this will be a single family home?
Yeah.
From the town.
Town recommended approval at their August 8th meeting. Motion carried unanimously.
Anyone to speak in favor of this petition? Anyone in favor? Anyone opposed to this? Anyone opposed? David,
Madam
Chair.
My apologies, Madam Chair. Through the chair to the county staff, the ordinance for this doesn't allow for a parsonage.
Thank you.
I don't believe that's what they're referring to it as.
No. Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions?
I make a motion to approve the rezoning for Full Gospel First Church.
Second.
I have a first by Supervisor Decker and a second by Supervisor Underhill. Committee members?
Aye.
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 Chair votes aye.
Chair votes aye.
Thank you.
Good luck.
Item number 11 is review and possible approval of a resolution to approve appointments to the Kenosha County Land Information Council, which would be for Mr. George Melcher, Director of County Planning Development, and Mr. Marty LeCocq, who is the Director of Information Systems. And I believe these are for four-year terms. They currently have been on since the inception of the committee. They served for a year. And this is their former, their reappointment for an extended term. They were asked to serve basically by the county executive, and I believe these roles are appropriate given the nature of the Land Information Council.
Questions from the committee? Supervisor Decker?
I just noticed that there's two names on one resolution. I've not seen that before. That's okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you.
I'll make a motion to approve the appointments.
Second.
I have a first by Supervisor Esposito and a second by Supervisor Decker. Any amendments? Ready?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Though I'm a little disappointed that they couldn't be here too.
Yeah, me too.
You know, plead their case.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
They both had a long day.
She did it for highways. Late pack.
Okay. Bob is still table?
Yes. And we do have one certified survey map which refers to the Northern Alpine Group LLC, which we had earlier on the agenda. There are some significant conditions, principally that they would share a common, basically, access to their properties as shown in the drawing. Anything else you want to state, Andy? So I would recommend approval with the subject to the conditions.
Any questions from anybody?
I got one.
Supervisor Underhill?
How are these people going to get in their driveways here? Oh, sorry. Oh, never mind.
The next page.
Forget it. Good thing nobody's here.
A legitimate question. The drawing has to tell you the story.
I just looked at it before.
I make a motion to approve the certified survey.
I second.
Subject to conditions.
Oh, I'm sorry. Subject to conditions.
I have a first by Supervisor Decker and a second by Supervisor Underhill. Any evidence? Committee?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Chair votes aye. Approved.
Okay.
Approval of the minutes.
I make a motion to approve the minutes.
Second.
I have a first by Supervisor Decker and a second by Supervisor Esposito to approve the minutes. All in favor?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Minutes are approved. Citizen comments. Any other business allowed by law?
I don't believe we have any other than we're considering having a meeting on October, whatever.
Site visits on Monday rather than on Tuesday again for October.
For October.
October.
And also we would have a potential meeting on our budget.
On that same
day. On that same day.
On the Monday?
On the Monday.
On that Monday.
Right.
Okay.
Which that would be a no.
Would be a site visit on a Monday and also on the budget.
That would be the
10?
A formal meeting, yes. Yes, I believe that is correct.
Yes.
So that's just to hopefully work in your schedule if you have a...
October 2nd?
No. 10th.
10th.
Right, I don't hear it correct. So we are just not meeting yet.
And at 11 o'clock still?
Yes.
Okay.
I am going to guess that there is something happening on a Tuesday that they are unable to make.
Yes, I believe there's a conflict on a Tuesday.
Are we doing something September?
Yes, yes. This is just giving you a little heads up that we'll actually have a formal meeting with the budget review. It'll be fairly short, but we'll be having one.
All right, motion. I know you guys really want to stay here.
Make a motion.
I have our first by Supervisor Esposito and a second by Supervisor Gixel. All in favor?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. We're adjourned.
That's good. So she got it.
More.
Just a second.